Episode 114, Spring Training Updates and Mailbag Questions. You're listening to the Bucko Banter Podcast, brought to you by the Just Baseball Media Network. Cue music.
Rocking 101, she see compliment my taste. Whiskey in my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates. Order steak by the plates, and then case after case. Run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snake.
Welcome back to another episode. We have some things to talk about today, actually. We got some spring training games to cover. Some injuries, unfortunately, and some mailbag questions. For last one before the season starts. Adam, how's
it going? Yeah, I'm doing well, man. We're busy. I keep saying it, but I am very tired. The team previews are going great. Go check those out. We're just wrapping up the AL East. The whole NL is done. The AL East is first, and then what is it, the Central, Scott?
Central, and then we'll finish with the West. We're on track to finish the very last West preview the day before opening day, or no, 2 days before opening day, because the 26th will be our big Pirates preview. So,
all right, and maybe we got something planned for that.
We might,
just a little bit. Might. Yeah, it's been good, man. Pirates spring training is underway. A lot is happening. A lot's not happening. It's just kind of par for the course with spring training. It's a little bit more uneventful than it was last year, right?
Yeah, big time.
Because I feel like the rotation, we kind of know how it is already. Last year, we had no idea.
Yeah.
We didn't have Paul Skeens. We didn't know Jared Jones was going to be what he is. We didn't know Bailey Falter was going to be what he is. So this year, it's kind of boring. The position battles aren't as sexy as you'd think they'd be.
First base is the biggest one right now, I would say.
And I wouldn't label it sexy.
It's not sexy, not at all, but like it's the biggest competition we have, because if you think about it, right field's going to be Pham and one of Swinsky and Palacios.
No one's really having that great of a spring training at the dish.
In that battle, no. I think there are a few guys that are having a decent spring, but very few.
Swinsky, I think he's hitting like 375, but
Bart
did that last year. Bart hit a bomb 2 days in a row. He's doing pretty well. Henry Davis is hitting 313, I believe.
Brian's having a decent spring too. Like he's yeah.
But that's nothing that we didn't expect, right? Like those guys always have pretty good springs. And like going back to last year, we had the second base battle. You didn't really know what was going on in the outfield. We didn't know who was playing center field until like the last week of spring training. So maybe I'm complaining too much. I'm excited for like meaningful baseball to start, but here we are. And before we get into the game notes, I want to bring this up. We have it listed as the middle topic, but let's get right into it. Oviedo.
Yeah, let's
do that. 60-day IL. We had concerns about his status, what was going to happen with him, especially when they brought in Andrew Haney, right? It was like, okay, well, like I really like that move. There's really nothing to dislike about it. But now there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And that kind of made us think a little bit, is Oviedo okay? Now, this is a totally separate injury, right? This is a right lat muscle strain, which with pitchers, Scotty, you could feel free to take the floor here. That's a pretty common injury and a pretty serious one, depending on the grade.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be ready for a while. And luckily we have arms. This is why you stack up on arms. This is why if we're gung-ho on anything with this Pirates team, it's the pitching room. But that hurts a little bit.
I think what scares me the most about that is he's going to go see Dr. Keith Meister, which I hate seeing that name listed in your report. Because is that lat strain due to something with the elbow? It's all connected, right?
The feet are connected to the legs.
Yes.
And then the legs are connected to the core. And then the core connects to...
Which is weird.
Upper body. I'm not done, Scott. Hold on.
Oh, good.
And then the upper body connects to the shoulders, and then the shoulders goes down to the elbows, and then the elbows to the hands, and then the head's attached to everything. So, like, if you hurt the lat, then you could have hurt your left toe. I don't know.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
What Dr. Meister is going to say.
Yeah, that's great logic. You probably learned that in philosophy class or whatever. But I'm really worried that he's maybe – either babying that elbow when he's coming back and putting more stress on the lat, or vice versa.
Overcompensating,
man. And that's the thing I'm worried about. I didn't really like the report the way it read. Hopefully it's better than it seems, and he's not out longer than we think, but it seems like he won't be back until after Memorial Day at the earliest.
Throws a wrench in things. And we're going to, I think it ties into one of our mailbag questions later, which I'm excited to talk about. What does this do with guys that might be expendable?
Yeah.
Right. We have major league ready arms or close to it in Mike Burrows, Braxton Ashcraft, Hunter Barco's knocking at the door.
And boy, is he knocking.
He's having a hell of a spring. Like the shape of his pitches is there. The characteristics are what we saw or what we expected of him coming out of Florida. But it's a little bit of a kink in the hose. Not too big of one. It's not a Paul Skeens or a Jared Jones or a Mitch Keller, like your top three that you expected. And, you know, knock on wood, it's not any of your Bubba Chandlers. I left that name out because we're expecting that one to be in there. But I was excited to see him come back. It's always tough when somebody comes back from Tommy John, they miss an entire year, and then they get riddled with injuries. We just had a Red Sox preview that's going to come out. And we were talking about Trevor Story and how devastating that is. Just keep fighting back, and how grueling physical therapy is, and the day-to-day grind of not playing and not being certain of your future and then getting hurt again. Not only does that affect your physical play, but mentally as well. That's tough. So I'm rooting for him. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and he gets the rest that he needs and he can help us later down the road, but not great.
Yeah, not great. You don't want to hear that, but you know, if anything, this organization is deep in arms, and he's a guy that we know when he's healthy, he can give us the inning. So let's not rush him. This is why we brought in an Andrew Heaney. This is why we have guys like Bailey Falter and Mitch Keller that can eat innings. And we have more arms coming. So I'm going to have to, you know, rely on some of these younger guys too. Maybe a Burrows, maybe a, cause you need more arms than you think every year, a Braxton Ashcraft. So
this is again, when they traded Luis Ortiz, and then the argument was like, let's keep going for more depth, right? We have pitching depth, so trade that to get arms. And one of the things that I agreed with Charrington is like, this is a part of our team that is good. You don't want to dig too deep into that and deplete it for these reasons.
Yeah.
Arms get hurt often.
Yeah.
So you have to factor this into your plan. No matter how questionable your plan may be, this has to be considered moving forward because it's bound to happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, this is where development is key. Like, we're going to need some other guys to step up in the system this year, so we're able to continue dealing from depth and creating more depth from hopefully producing more bats. I know that's not an area of depth for us right now, but you know, that's why development is so key.
Absolutely. Let's talk about some games, Scott. Not much happened. They got spanked this week, to be quite frank, by the Yankees and the Red Sox. They took a dub on Wednesday versus the Jays. But Monday, Joey Bart had two hits, hit an absolute bomb. Nick York with a double off of Max Fried. Opposite field is a nice little poke. Chandler and Barco kind of lost it in this one a little bit. The stuff was good, but a little bit of command issues, let some runners on base, some hits, nothing to look into too much, but just one of those days. And then again on Tuesday, I don't really have any notes here.
Before we go into Tuesday, I want to talk about three pitchers from Monday real quick. Chandler and Barco. While they both gave up four earned runs, Barco gave up two homers, one to George Lombard, who's an exciting and prospect for the Yankees. Chandler hit 99.6. on the fastball. He was throwing 92 mile an hour changeups. The slider looked good. The control just wasn't there. And these are the type of things that you want to iron out in spring training. No one is worried about Bubba Chandler. Everything looked good in terms of stuff. It was just control issues. And then Hunter Barco, he hit 97.1 on the sinker. He actually struck out George Lombard on that 97.1 mile an hour sinker. His sinker was registering a 110 stuff plus number. He went from averaging 90 miles an hour in 23 to averaging 95 on the fastball this spring. So that's a massive jump, and that's very notable. Hunter Barco is going to fly up prospect list as a lefty arm sitting 95. Additionally, I also want to mention Eddie Yean, because I think this guy is going to make a big case to be in the bullpen this year. He's giving me Felix Bautista vibes, if you will. He is throwing bowling ball sinkers. He threw a 95.6 mile an hour sinker with 2,294 RPMs. That red glove looks fucking sick.
Is it a 44?
I think so. I think it is. But yeah, I think he's going to be a force out of the bullpen, fastball changeup guy. Everything kind of works horizontally there. He throws heavy, heavy ball pitches. I just want to make note of those guys because they're two prospects. They're three prospects, and they could contribute as early as this year.
Love it. Love it. Want to get into the Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday was the Andrew Heaney debut. Numbers were not good at all. 1 2/3, 2 hits, 4 runs, 3 walks, 1K. Again, this was his first outing on a hill this spring. Not too worried about it. But yeah, you know, I'm excited to see his, I don't know if I want to say excited, but I'm eager to see his next outing, see if he settles in a little bit. Caleb Ferguson also got hit around a little bit. Peter Strzelecki's looked pretty good this spring, out of the pen in the inning stints. And then I guess the big name in this game was Jiwon Bae, went 3 for 3 with a home run off of Quinn Priester. Quinn Priester was hitting 97 on the fastball and throwing 94 mile an hour cutters. So, Nick York, please save us.
Yeah, I saw that too. It made me.
It's spring. Cool. I'm not. I'm overreacting. I'm exaggerating right now. But Quinn did look good. I'm happy for him because I think he's an athlete and I think he has a lot of potential.
Speaking of Jiwon Bae, did you watch the new Pirates?
I didn't watch episode? That one. No. I saw that's up.
Not as good as the first one.
Okay.
But very good. So I highly recommend going to watch it. I don't know if this is actually part of it, but they did a bat day where they were testing out new bats. And Jiwon Bae was one of the main guys in it because he was giving them the dimensions. But it's pretty cool how they get a feel for their bats, like between the barrel and the knob and the grip and everything that goes along with it. They're picking and choosing from each bat to make like their Frankenstein of what they want going into the season. Just interesting stuff. Another element to the game. Wednesday versus Jays. Mitch Keller, 3 2/3. This is the first guy they let go out, see the lineup multiple times. So that was nice. Or at least go into four. 1 hit, 1 earned, 3 walks, 3 Ks, gave up a home run. Barucki has looked good.
Yeah.
I think he is carrying himself like a guy that should be on this roster. Because he's been on this roster, and I think he's going to be on the roster as a non-roster invite. He got the win, 1 inning pitch, 1 hit, 1K. Joey Wentz had an appearance, 1 inning pitch, 3 hits, 1 earned, 2 Ks. O'Neal Cruz had an absolute bomb.
Did that clear the boardwalk?
It did.
Huh. That was in center field, too. Like, that's a deep part of the boardwalk where the bar is.
Yes. And spring training home runs sound beautiful because the stadium isn't as big. There's not as much noise. So you really get that clip, that sound that echoes. It just sounds monstrous. He had 2 runs, second home run of spring, 3 RBIs on the day. He had 2 walks, too. Yeah. He's shown some patience and better plate discipline, especially against lefties, and 3 stolen bases. Talk 30-30. This is going to be a big part of the game, getting guys in the scoring position, taking bags. They didn't do that last year. They did it the year before when they made the bases a little bit bigger, and we thought this was going to be something that Derek Shelton emphasized. It kind of went away last year, right?
Yeah.
They didn't capitalize on opportunities to get guys in the scoring position. Now, whether they would have got them in is a whole different question. Sure. Probably not, but excited to see that new development in his game. A year healthy with the ankle, had a full season under his belt, so positive stuff. Joey Bart had another home run, 2 for 3 on the day, RBI. And Sung Sung Chang has good power, man, for a small guy.
Yeah, he went home run the game before.
Right. He went 1 for 1 with a double. I know a lot of people are out there like, what could this guy mean for the Pirates? I personally don't think he contributes to this team. I think he has a solid glove. I just don't know if he is a major league player that's going to help the Pirates anytime soon. Maybe at the end of a year in meaningless games if the Pirates aren't in it, but I could potentially see him helping out another organization. I think Destin was talking about this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Food for thought. I like him. I just don't.
We have 10 of him.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly. So that's spring training. There is a game going on in 20 minutes. We're recording on Thursday, Paul Skeens Day. So we'll obviously have an update for you when we talk about that on Sunday. And on Sunday, we have a special guest coming on, a repeat guest that we're excited to talk spring breakout, because the breakout lineups were announced today, Scott. And I'm almost more excited this year for the breakout lineup. I know we don't have the Paul Skeens effect.
I don't know if I'm more. Well, yeah, it was Paul Skeens versus Jackson Holliday. It was like the biggest, it was the most hyped breakout game, I'd say, last year.
It was, but because of Paul Skeens.
Sure.
Like we didn't even see Bubba Chandler till the ninth inning. He closed.
The Fed's out of options, rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
He's out the game. He looked great. But yes, Paul Skeens, Jackson Holliday, obviously the Orioles with the pedigree that they
Billy
have
Cook.
In that minor league. Yeah, Billy Cook was in that game. I love this because there's a lot of guys on here that we didn't see last year for one reason or another. David Matoma was on the roster last year, yeah. But we did not see him pitch. This is the kid from Uganda that touches 100 and he's 5'9". I would love to see him get in-game action and see that in person. Xander Meath.
Did we see Johnny Severino?
I think he was on the roster. I don't know if he got an at-bat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited. Yeah, Xander Meath. That was a name that I had circled. I'm also really excited for like Wyatt Sanford and Connor Griffin. Come on, man. We got Connor Griffin on the roster.
Right. We didn't get much of a sample size this spring with Connor Griffin. Yes, he had his moments in big league camp. It was great. It's very promising for the future, but maybe we see a couple of at bats here. Maybe we see the arm at shortstop. Maybe we see the arm in the outfield. We get to see him track down some fly balls. But let's go back to Xander Meath real quick, because we're going to discuss this on Sunday with our guest. But the characteristics and the pure stuff that he has could potentially be the best in this system. It's a funky delivery. I know that's kind of a take. He's a ways away. It's a very funky delivery. He's a tall kid, high school. He throws hard and he has a ton of rotation. He gets a ton of spin. I'm excited to see how it plays in game. We didn't get to see it that often. And then of course you got Tremar Johnson, who didn't get much of a sample size because, as you just mentioned, we have 105 of Tremar Johnson's on this roster right now. Christian Curtis, who made the team last year because Anthony Solometo was sick, gets another appearance after a strong fall and a pretty good year last year. And then Anthony Solometo.
Don't get sick, Ant. Come on.
I think if you were to ask both yourself and myself last year, outside of Skeens, who were we most excited to see? I think it was Anthony Solometo. We were pretty disappointed when that happened. So, yeah, I think I'm more excited for this one than last year, because after Skeens went in, it's like, all right, I saw what I came here to see.
Yeah, I'm really excited, like I said, to see the high school guys get a chance, like Sanford and Griffin. I would love to see Sterling too, but he's not on there. I also like you said, Anthony Solomato. Esmerlin Valdez is a bat that did really well in Bradenton last year. He's on the roster. And also Xander Meath. I mean, like you said, he's someone that has a really exciting profile. I've compared him to Tanner Houck, and I'll continue to do so. His ball gets a lot of east-west movement on it, and he's big. He's like 6'5", 6'6". We saw him at Pirate City last year. He's a big dude. So this is an exciting roster, and they're going up against not a super deep farm system, but they're top-heavy. So I'm excited to see Bubba Chandler versus Andrew Painter probably to start the game. Like, those are two of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball. They've got Aiden Miller, who's a first-round pick out of high school, who's probably going to play some third base. It'll be a good one. It's in Clearwater. It's not in Bradenton this year, so we're actually going to go to Clearwater for the 1 o'clock breakout game, and we're going to race back to get to Bradenton for the 6 o'clock game. I think they play the Tigers or the Twins. I can't remember. So it'll be a busy Saturday for us in Bradenton, but definitely worth it.
Any sleepers on here? Anybody that you didn't mention that you're excited to see? I got one who this is going to be a big year for him.
Then we have the same one, Lonnie White Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a make or break year for him. I think he doesn't need to show out in this game, but he needs to have a big year. And I'm excited to see what he can do in a full season. I mean, he had a full season in Greensboro last year. Strikeouts were a problem, but he showed power and speed that he has. So let's put it all together this year and make a difference. I'm assuming he'll probably go to Altoona at some point. I don't know if he'll start there, but he'll definitely get there.
Let's get into the mailbag.
Okay.
Last one of the year for spring training and off season. We appreciate the questions as always. We're not going to do as many as we did last time because this isn't a full mailbag episode. So we limited it down to what? We got three or four questions here, Scott, that we can fly through. Yeah. First one comes from friend of the show. If you could dedicate one game this season to an animal, which animal would it be? I'm not going to mention, just I'm going to say the question. I already did. I'm not going to mention who said it. If you can't guess off of his many appearances on the show, who submitted the question on what game would be an animal and what animal would it be? You haven't been listening.
Sounds like something Destin would say, but wow. This is a tough one because
we've been on the same wavelength for a while now. It's I'm very curious to see what game you picked here. You have a game, right?
Yeah, like a specific like scheduled game?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. But he's asking what
one game this season.
Oh, I thought it was an animal. Okay.
Yeah.
I misread the question. So if I'm pulling up the Pirates schedule,
if you could dedicate one game this season to an animal, which animal would it be?
I believe it was a game that I had circled in July against the Rockies.
Okay.
Do you not have that?
I have August 23rd versus the Rockies.
Okay. Is it at home, right?
Yeah.
I had the wrong month. That's it.
Good man.
We got it.
What animal would that be, Scott? Let's say it on the count of three. One, two, three.
Wolf. All
right. And that's that for that.
Did we just become best friends? Yep.
That is the wolf game. If you just look at it, it looks like a wolf game.
Anyone listening to this is probably thinking that we have something wrong with us. And we do. Don't get me wrong. We absolutely wrong. Do.
Let's move to more of a legit question from our friend Ian Labatch. Yep. Does Nick York have a path to the opening day roster? Love that question.
Great question.
Thank you, Ian. I unfortunately said no.
Yeah.
Because what we've mentioned in this episode three times already is we have 20 of Nick York's and they're trying to move him around. I think he's getting some time at first base tonight as well, but he's not really tearing it up. We've seen some good at bats, but for him to make the opening day roster, he would have had to have done a lot this spring. He would have had to force some hands. I want him there. I think he should be getting at bats over an Adam Frazier. But for that reason, I think he needs to play in AAA every single day and get more at bats and then eventually contribute later this year.
I agree about the everyday at bats. If I were making the roster, which I'm not, which is one of the biggest problems of this organization, Nick York would be on my opening day roster and it wouldn't be a guy named Adam Frazier stopping him. But if I'm looking at the Fangraphs projected lineup as of March 6th, get ahead of ourselves here. The bench is Endy Rodriguez, Jared Triolo, Adam Frazier, and Joshua Palacios. And I think there's a lot of debate to be had with that projected bench. But just based off that, I think Triolo makes this roster.
100%.
So that utility role is between Frazier, York, Billy Cook. And I don't think they're going to give it to a guy that doesn't play any middle infield. It sounds like it's going to go to Frazier. I mean, they brought him in on what 1 year, 1.15 or 1.5 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. And I think you can make the argument that Billy Cook has a better chance too, because at least for opening day.
Yeah.
Well, he can play outfield. Nick York can play some outfield too, but he's a better first baseman. And right now, for the first couple of weeks, they probably need a first. Wait, you're going to say he's a righty?
No, I was going to say he's the best defensive outfielder on this 40-man right now. I mean, I don't even think that's debatable.
No, it's not. He had a really nice play the other day where he had to switch routes and made a play at the fence.
Did you see his quote, Stumpf? And not to interrupt real quick, but Stumpf posted an article, I think it was, about his mentality in the field. And he said, I think it was a college coach or someone told him to play every position like you're playing shortstop. Found that interesting. I think that was a quote. It was something of like how to train your mentality in a field. I was like, well, he plays like it, because he's definitely a plus defender, and he's someone I would want on that roster for that reason, because his roster is lacking that for sure.
I like that. In terms of being ready on every pitch,
yeah,
be involved in every play. Yep. I get it. I say no. You say I want to say yes, but no.
If I was betting, I'd say no. Yeah.
I like Nick York. I think he's going to contribute down the road.
Yep.
But we put ourselves in a position where we really didn't do him any favors going into the year. And like I said, if he was hitting 350, 400 in spring and you couldn't keep him out of the lineup, then sure, I could see it. You'll find a way for him to get there. But I think it's going to be a little bit longer until we see Nick York every day. Next question. JM Staff, our friend at Just Baseball, which pitcher in the system do you guys think is most likely to get moved this season? Scott, why don't you give us your take?
This is tough. I'm going to stick to the answer that I've had before on this. And we've talked about it a little bit on the pod, not necessarily in a mailbag setting, but I would have to say it's going to be Braxton Ashcraft. And Braxton Ashcraft, for one reason, I don't want to say a lack of durability, because the other team is going to look at injury history as a bargaining chip, right? But he's not a Charrington guy. He was brought in on the previous regime. I think he was in the last draft class. And I think that they like Burrows. I think they like Barco. I think they like Solometto. And I know they like Bubba more than all of them combined, but I think he might be the odd man out. And he's a guy that would be involved in trade offers.
Yeah, I think they might be a little bit more hesitant now that Oviedo went down.
Okay.
If there was going to be any late spring training move and Oviedo was healthy, my answer might have been a little bit more different with Burrows and Ashcraft, and saying, yeah, if it's going to yield a major league bat or someone that's ready this year and a good return, sure. I like Solometto as my pick, just because if he has a bounce back year, he's still so young. And they already have Hunter Barco. I think they like Barco a lot more.
Like Barco.
And so do I, just from an overall build. Velo, he looks the part. And I think he's going to be ready sooner rather than later. Solometto is a project, but I still think he could be a top prospect in a lot of systems when healthy and when everything's clicking. He hasn't looked terrible so far. I think last year might have been an outlier. So if he gets back on track, we got to remember he's still young. He was a high school guy. If he gets back on track, if the velo can sit around 93 to 94 with him, which I think he might be back to right now.
Solometto is like 92, 93. I don't think he has projection like Barco does. Like Barco can get up to 97 now. I don't think Solometto will ever have that, at least with his current stature.
It's going to be more deception.
It's deception. It's the arm slot and everything like that. And that's great, but that's more of a mid to back end rotation guy compared to maybe a mid guy at floor, what I think Barco can be. So,
right. I'm just hesitant now to say Burrows or Ashcraft, although I think a team might be more interested in Burrows and Ashcraft right now for their rosters. Yep. I think maybe if this team is competing at the deadline, Solometo is a nice little piece to throw in there. Yeah. If he's not having a year like he had last year.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think we've talked about that in previous episodes when we started Bucko Banner about how, you know, he might be a trade chip in his deep staff of arms in the minor league. So I could see either happening, but a good question by our friend Jay Staff here at Just Baseball.
Last question. Save the best for last. Our good friend Jim Rosati at Northside Notch. If you could swap lives with any fictional character for a week, who would it be and why? Jim, we picked this question over other ones. So, yeah,
other baseball-related questions. So, Jim, you owe us.
Trying to keep this as a short episode, light and fun. Scott, why don't you go first?
I'm going to go with Vito Corleone. Come on. I mean, everyone knows my my Italian persona. Yeah, it's Vito Corleone. He's one of the coolest TV characters of all time. I didn't want to go as far as saying Omar Little from The Wire because that's for many, many reasons. It's just like it's a tough life. It's a tough life there in Baltimore. But I think he is one of the best TV characters of our lifetime. I'm going to have to just go with Vito because it's the Godfather, man. He makes offers you can't refuse. He's top of the world. Comes from Sicily. I don't really have much else to say other than that, man. He's the definition of cool.
Your mind works in mysterious ways, man, because I asked you before this pod, we didn't want to share our answers, but you said you did say Tony Soprano.
Yeah, I did. But then I was like, Vito is way cooler.
Okay. All right.
You know, James Gandolfini, great guy. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. The Joker, because every day, little by little, I turn into the Joker watching the Pittsburgh Pirates play.
Way to tie it back in.
On that note, thank you for all the questions. We're excited. Next week, man, spring training.
We will be there
up front and personal. Excited to share some cool news with everybody coming soon. Catch up on the team previews. Like all the episodes, share them. Leave a comment and make sure you subscribe. Download the episodes. If you're listening, leave a 5-star review. That helps us out a ton, man. If you guys just leave a simple 5-star review, share your thoughts, leave a comment on how much you're enjoying Bucko Banter. Not only does it mean a lot to us, but it helps us grow as a show as we continue to grow into the 2025 season.
Yeah, very excited for that. Also email us with any suggestions, things you want us to talk about or any kind of, you know, critiques or suggestions. We're always open to listen, and you know, we want to give you guys the best content, Pirates content out there. So you know, hit us up and let's raise it.
Rocking 101, she compliment my taste, whiskey and my lemonade, cause I like the way it tastes. Best seats at the Pirates game, they let me run the base. Yeah, my time is like my money, cause I can't afford to waste. Wifey is a lawyer, take my date to my dates, order steak by the plates, and then case after case, run my race at my pace, clear the grass of the snake.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown score second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and Game System remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.